Welcome to the Queer Confidence Podcast, the podcast to help you become your most confident queer self. I'm your host, he, she, they, Coach Alex Ray, and I haven't always been this confident. In fact, I used to be super insecure. And through this show, I want to share with you what's worked for me, my clients, and my guests so that you can become more confident. Hey there, unicorns. How are you today? I have a very special guest with me, my friend and coach too, although he uses other terms, but like he coached me, Mike Iamelli. I did his 1 month program for GBTQ plus men in September, and it was wildly impactful for me. We talked about sensitivities, which I'm going to let him explain to you today. And it's been extremely helpful to me in my personal life, in my business. And I wanted to be able to bring him on to have a conversation both about what he does with sensitivities, but also because a few weeks ago, Tandy and I had him on our podcast, and we talked about goals and we talked about purpose. And both of these things are messages that you all need to hear. So go listen to that episode. I'll put the link in the show notes. But today we're going to do a more deep dive into those two things specifically, as well as what it looks like to map your sensitivities with Mike and how that's actually going to help you in your personal life, your sex life, your business, as an employee. Everything is going to change. This is such powerful work. So thank you so much, Mike, for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Absolutely. All right. Give us, like, let's do a quick dive into what the heck it is that you do so that my listeners know, like, who are we listening to? Why should we listen to him?
Totally. It's, you know, you hear this term mapping sensitivities in such a strange term, but really it's as simple as understanding who you are, what you naturally subconsciously do every time you're successful so that you can build a life that just works for you. Like, it's being able to predict ahead of time what business strategies are going to work for you, what messaging is going to work, how you can ask for what you need in the bedroom, how you can work through shame, all of that stuff. And it comes down to this idea of sensitivities. And I want to unpack that word for a moment, because I know that it's a strange word. We don't hear it very often.
Please do.
When we talk about, yes, we talk about life purpose so often, people will say to me, Mike, my purpose is to be a life coach, or it's to be a writer. And I always say, that is amazing. I am so happy for you. But here's the thing. If you can achieve it, that means you can fail it. And that doesn't make sense. How could you fail your purpose? Mm-hmm. And furthermore, if you could achieve it, that implies you didn't have it at a certain point. So did you just not have a purpose as a baby? And what about your purpose in your relationship or in sex or in trauma or healing or literally anywhere that isn't being a life coach? Mm-hmm. And so I say, wait a minute. When you were a baby, you had a purpose. Let's go back to that moment. You didn't have a job. Maybe you didn't even have language, but you had one thing. You had sensitivities. Every baby does, right? Every baby is sensitive to something. And babies are sensitive to all kinds of things. Some babies are sensitive to connection, and they love looking their moms in the eyes. Some babies are sensitive to freedom, and they love feeling free, and they're running around, and they're trapped in that swaddle. Every baby has sensitivities. And as we grow up, what we're sensitive to is what we experience deepest. We have more desires there. We have more pain and trauma because we feel things deeper there. We have more skills because we're honing those things. And we can start to actually map and understand why this feels painful, but that feels good. Why this worked out for you, but that didn't. And so when I'm talking about mapping sensitivities, I'm really talking about knowing why things happened or what you're subconsciously doing when you're successful and when you're not.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that you pointed out too with purpose, because specifically, like, if you all go back and listen to the Being Human episode, you will hear this message over, like, loud and clear there in lots of detail, my views on humans and our purpose and everything that we're about. But mm-hmm. It really is this essence of there is no such thing as purpose of what you do in the world. That is not your purpose. Our purpose as a human is just to be. And I think what you do contextualizes it so much, because it actually says, like, yeah, your purpose is to just be exactly who you are and to chase after, in a way, these sensitivities, to allow yourself to feel them, because you are going to feel the most alive when you are connecting with these sensitivities. And purpose is like, my vacuum cleaner has a purpose. It sucks up dirt from carpets.
Sure. Humans, you know, we just that, yes, I mean, you know, our purpose is to just be ourselves. And there's so many infinite ways to express that. I mean, people will come to me all the time, and I'm sure everyone listening has experienced this. We've gone through a breakup, or you've gotten, you know, a divorce, you've left your job, you've been laid off, you've been fired, you retired. And people will come to me and say, okay, Mike, now I need a new purpose. I need to figure out what my purpose is. And I was like, whoa, hold on a minute here, right? That doesn't make any sense. It's like pouring water from one cup to the next. We want the water. It's the same essence. We're just finding a new container for that essence. And so for me, my purpose isn't to be a writer or a coach or anything. It's why that feels purposeful for me. Why writing feels purposeful for me. It makes me feel vulnerable and zany and free and aligned in all of these things that feel purposeful. Because we have the power. It's not in that relationship. It's not in that job. We have the power. And this starts to radically change our relationship with purpose. You know, I probably, like a lot of you, have been on so many different purpose webinars. I've read so many purpose books. And you do enough of this stuff and you hear the same things over and over. And so something I heard continuously was my purpose was something super general, like my purpose is to love, which I'm like, that is awesome. But how the hell does that help me with my trauma or build my business and do any of these things that I want to do? Or it would go the other way, right? It would be super specific and it would say, okay, you're passionate about writing. Your purpose is to be a writer. Mm. And I would say, again, sounds great, but how does that help me with my relationships and my trauma or any of these other areas? And I was so frustrated because, you know, this idea of having to achieve purpose is, by the way, ableist, right? I've worked with so many people whose abilities change throughout their life, and all of a sudden they can't achieve the same things they used to achieve. Do they no longer have a purpose? That doesn't make sense. But what we can understand is that I can feel vulnerable, and every moment that might look a little different, but the more that I feel vulnerable, the more purposeful I feel. And spoiler alert, that's my secret to success. Every time I'm being intensely vulnerable, I've been successful in my life.
I love that. Okay, so can we, here's what I think might be fun to do real quick for the listeners. Can we share some of our sensitivities? And I would love to do this. I trust, I want to just like remind you what mine are and then have you like point out some, because this is the neat thing, y'all. Mike, by when he finds these sensitivities with you, he can also do some amazing predictions about your life and what you felt in the past and what things are going to happen in the future for you based on these sensitivities. Mm-hmm. So can we do that right now?
We can do that right now. Of course we can.
Okay, let's do it. So mine are iconic, empower, thrill, curious, and support.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, I'm going to try to remember them off the top of my head. Iconic, empowered, thrilled, supported, and tell me the one I'm forgetting.
Curious.
Curious. Thank you. Okay, awesome. You know, I like to say I've got, you know, when I discover someone's sensitivities, it's like I've got my heaven scroll up in heaven, and I can predict a whole bunch of things about their life because I know what they're sensitive to, so I know what they're going to experience deepest. So, of course, Alex, I am going to predict that you've had a lot of time in your life where maybe you didn't feel like a shining star, and you definitely didn't feel supported, right? When I hear iconic and I hear supported, I think, okay, this person maybe have struggled with receiving, struggle with people really seeing them fully and being able to support them. Also, iconic is an interesting word, and I always trust your infinite wisdom in how we discover these words, which is a whole other conversation. I'm going to guess, without knowing much about you, just because you use the word iconic, there's something about you that not only like shines and wants to be a star and felt dulled, but there may be some religious trauma associated. Because this is often a word that's very associated with religions, right? Religious icons. And so this is a word that was going to explain some of that trauma a little bit more. And so if I were up in heaven and I saw these words, I would say, okay, this person is really a star and is going to be different and stand out and shine. but not have the ability to express that early in life. Some of that may be religious trauma. Some of that may be people not understanding this person and supporting them. Some may be this person's asking a lot of questions why, and they're being shut down. That curiosity is shut down, and they may get bored in certain learning situations. And so in actuality, they're going to need to work through all of that to step into purpose. And what we can see is our shadows or our insecurities or our struggles are just the flip side of our gifts. And it's all one because we're sensitive to all of it.
Yeah. 1,000%. That is literally was all my childhood. A lot of religious trauma, a lot of curiosity, and then also feeling kind of shamed for the curiosity that I had because I asked a lot of questions in church because I wanted to know. I wanted to know, like, how, first of all, a lot of the things when were so freaking complicated. I was like, this doesn't make all that much sense. And I was constantly trying to wrap my head around it. And then I also definitely, like, was the more that I individualized, the greater I felt about myself, but also the more I bumped up against, like, my family and friends, and I shut that down, and I felt really, really, really hurt for a while, just trying to perform to please other people and not be my truly iconic, amazing self.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And we'll see this, you know, some people will come to me a lot of times and say, Mike, is this, you know, coming from trauma? Is this coming from who I truly am? And part of my question, which I know a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but part of my answer to that is, it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm interested in what you're sensitive to. And what you're sensitive to, we can actually predict your coping mechanisms, right? So if you come to me and you're like, I don't know if this is a trauma response or not, I was like, I don't care, because you're going to use what you're sensitive to as a coping mechanism for that very trauma. So we're going to start to look at all the ways that you have coped with these type of things, like iconic, choosing to kind of shut yourself down or choosing to maybe not feel as connected or allow that support in is highly predictable. We can see that in what your sensitivities are, because we can only experience life through what we're sensitive to. Think about that, right? We see, taste, touch, smell, hear life. We sense it. So these are going to be our strategies for life. These are going to be, now I'm not saying they're always empowering, and I'm not here to judge. Like, I tell anybody, any strategy you do, if it's working for you, fine for me. And there sometimes becomes a point at which that container no longer works. The cost starts to equalize the benefit, and we onto a new one. But everything you are doing is to meet these core needs. And I want to tell you two stories here, because we have a queer audience. I think that this will be really important here. So two stories here. One is a non-necessarily queer story, but the other one is going to be more focused. And that is, I had someone come through the work years ago, and one of her sensitivities was enchanted. And I asked her how often she feels enchanted. And she said, almost never. I said, okay, well, when was the last time you felt enchanted? And she said, oh my God, I remember being a little girl and making these fairy crowns and playing in the garden. I was always enchanted, but I grew up and I learned that that wasn't appropriate anymore. And I said, okay, then how are you experiencing that now? Because you're finding a way. So how are you experiencing it? And this light bulb went off and she said, oh my God, you just released all the shame I had around my alcoholism. Because the moment that alcohol touched my lips, I was enchanted. And that was the only way I could feel that and receive it. And I said, right, everything we are doing is trying to fulfill some core need. And those core needs come back to what we're most sensitive to. And as she began to understand this, she realized why she had so much struggle there. And I say that because I do a lot of work with addiction and substance abuse and beginning to understand why we're experiencing these things. And the second story I want to talk about, which has a little more of a queer focus, is I had a client recently, a few months ago now, who came in and he was spending a lot of money on OnlyFans. And particularly, he was hiring for custom videos to have white, muscle-bound men, really muscly men, in vulnerable positions. And this is a black gay man who hired me. And so he said, Mike, I'm going into debt. Something is wrong with me. I'm effed up. I don't know what's wrong with me. I said, well, I've been doing this long enough to tell you, you are not effed up, but there's a reason you're doing it. And I don't know yet, but let me map your sensitivities and I can tell you the reason you're doing it. And so we mapped his sensitivities. And three of the sensitivities that I remember that we found were intimate, powerful, and calm. And I said, okay. He said, so you have a lot of anxiety. He said, how would you know that? I said, when I see Colm, I know you have anxiety. He said, tell me where your anxiety is the worst. He said, it's at work. And I said, okay, because you're in a big team and you don't have a lot of attention, right? And he said, yeah, I feel like a number. I said, right. When I see intimate, you do well with intimacy. So if you don't have that, that's not going to work. And I said, okay. And you're relieving your anxiety through this porn and through what else? Maybe video games? He said, yeah. And I said, okay. And in video games, you are choosing a very powerful, dominant character. So how would you know that? I said, powerful. This is your coping mechanism to begin to deal with this. And looking at power dynamics in intimacy, porn, right there, I can understand why you're doing this. So now let's take this all a step further. As a black gay man, do you feel powerful? And he said, almost never. I said, right. You don't feel powerful, and you are sensitive to how not powerful you feel. Do you think it would then be appealing with the click of a button to be able to have whom you consider the most powerful people, you know, these beautiful, white, muscly men, to be able to get into vulnerable positions for you? Do you think that would feel powerful? And he said, oh my God, you've just explained it, why I've become addicted to this. I said, right, you're not fucked up or wrong. The thing is, there's nothing wrong with that strategy, but if it's putting you into debt, let's find a new strategy that's going to meet the same emotional needs, but not put you into debt, because that's my goal for you.
I love that. That's such a great example. And in both of them, like, when we explain these things, then there's no shame around it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Shame, you know, I say this all the time. Shame, no matter how hard we try, has never been an effective tool for behavior change, right? No. I try to shame myself into changing my behavior all the time. It just doesn't work. But you want to know what does work is understanding. When I understand why I do something, I can change the behavior, because the behavior itself is meeting an underlying need. I need to understand that need, yes, and then get it met a different way. And then the behavior goes away on its own because we found a better way to meet that need. The only reason any of us are doing anything right now is because it's the best strategy that we know to fulfill a need. When we find a better strategy to fulfill that need, the old strategy goes away because we found a better one that helps us more.
1000%. Yes. I had a realization early, was it? I can't remember if it was this year or last year. I think it was like very, very early this year. And I was being coached on relationship stuff. And I have a pattern, Mike, of getting into toxic relationships, specifically, like, I've had a couple narcissist exes. And the relationships are always like twists and turns, constant mind game, lots of gaslighting, right? And I was always this victim of all of this. And and when I was getting coached on it, I was like, I don't like the drama. I'm so done with the drama. When can we get over this? And she was like, actually, you do like the drama. I was like, what? No, I do not. Fuck you. And then I, like, I'm very dramatic. I can, when I'm getting coached, I can go like, oh, I'm like, I'm going to just really loose the reins. I'm going to like snap at you. But like, it's not you. It's more it's the words you're saying. I love you.
Of
right?
course.
And I was like, you're right. I do like it. Why do I like it? And that word thrill came up. And that's what was happening. I was seeking thrills within toxic relationships. And so now I've been looking for ways to seek thrills in a way that, like, I actually like, because I don't genuinely love to be gaslit. That's not fun.
Well, you know, I love hearing that story because we can analyze that all live together, even with some of the words that you've told us, your sensitivities, because certainly we can see thrill. You want thrill in life. And if you're not getting enough of it elsewhere, you're going to seek that in relationship. But we also see this word empowered, which has the shadow form and disempowered, and this idea of power dynamics. And one thing I might encourage to you is to play with power dynamics in fun, safe ways, like in the bedroom, but not in the overarching relationship where you have to be subordinate. And so ways you want to play with, you know, feeling powerful and disempowered, that's intention you're exploring in life. But do that in really safe ways where you can feel explored. And third is, I see this word iconic, and that word when I think of the shadow form, I think, uh-oh, you may have a tendency to put people on a pedestal because you may have externalized that iconic nature, right? Rather than internalizing it, which is what we all do when we're beginning to integrate who we are. And so that combination doesn't surprise me that you found your way into toxic relationships, but finding your, you know, trying new things, putting yourself out there, exploring power dynamics when it's safe to do so and when there is love underpinning it all, and beginning to really internalize that iconic nature, I guarantee that you will be in less and less toxic relationships because you're changing the pattern but still meeting the underlying sensitivities.
Yes, I love that. So what I heard is go have some kinky fun in the bedroom.
Have some kinky fun in the bedroom. Try new thrilling things, right? Play with those power dynamics and know that you are the star. You can be performing. You want applause. You are the star. You are iconic. You have some great sex like this, and I guarantee you that's a good person for you.
Yes, you're so right. I agree 100%. Any takers? No. but yeah, you're right about iconic. So it's so interesting too, as we're talking through this and letting, like, helping people wrap their brains around this, it's also the things that we love to help other people feel.
Yep. And we tend to be really good at that, right? So feeling it ourselves, we can sometimes struggle with, but we are really good. It's much easier to make other people feel our sensitivities. And oftentimes we may even downplay our abilities because we assume everyone else can do it, right? Because we've been doing it our whole lives. It comes naturally to us. So we may say things like, oh my God, that wasn't even hard. You don't have to pay me that much. Or, no, it's really not a big deal. It's not challenging, because we don't realize the value in it, right? Right now, the only gift I can give to you, Alex, everybody listening, is to make you feel aligned and zany and free and unmistakable and successful and vulnerable. And I'm going to say it over and over again. I'm going to get weird and loud and zany because that's my way to help you. I'm going to tell you vulnerable stories. I mean, I'll give you my secret. I'll pull back the curtain here. Anytime I'm doing this work gets pretty deep and intense, and I'm not feeling a person feeling safe enough, I will get weirder and zanier. I will be more personally vulnerable. I will tell them, listen, you don't have to hold the cards. I'm really fucking good at this, and let them feel successful. Like, I will go through and just highlight those things. Immediately, they will feel safer because I know that's my shortcut to helping people more. And everything I do in life, you want to use my words? I'll show you right now. Ready? I help people to align their vulnerabilities, their zaniness, the things that make them unmistakable, to free them to be successful. It's not a half bad definition of what I do. So we can use those words over and over again. People I know use it for messaging. I've had people write books, you know, chapters using these words, programs using these words. There are infinite ways to do it. I have people, one woman, this is amazing. She has a money consciousness system using her words, which is like, okay, this is the first level, and you've got to go up, and she can actually measure where you are in your money consciousness based on her words. So there are infinite ways to play with this work. But I say all of this because ultimately that's our gift for the world. If I could make you feel successful right now, truly successful, do you give a shit how I do it? I can do it in a podcast. I can write social media posts. I can write you a book. I can give you some coaching or give you a program. Like, it doesn't really matter. That's what you want to feel. So now my job is to figure out, how can I make you feel that in every way, everything I do? And then that builds trust, because every time you hang out with me, you feel the same thing. It's kind of like, when I hang out with my friends, I don't hang out with them and then every time try to get them to like me again and again. I mean, that would be a terrible friendship. Theoretically, they like me once, I keep showing up as the same person, and they keep liking me. That's a good friendship. That's a normal friendship. That's all business has to be. That's all relationships has to be, is if they really like my essence, I just show up as me. And when we map our sensitivities, we just figure out what that is and how to work through the shit that's stopping us from feeling safe to be ourselves.
Yes. I have nothing to add. And I love how you talked about, like, defining what you do through your words. So what I do then is I really help people get curious and understand themselves better so that they can be more empowered to be the true icons that they are. I support them in this process and I make it thrilling and fun for them. Yeah.
Beautiful. Love that. And if that could, Yes, yes. And if that container ever changes, rearrange the words in play. You know the exercise we did with the associations. It is so fun to keep making new sentences. And we can use this in sex. We can use this anywhere. It doesn't really matter because it's just coming back to who we truly are. And do you mind if I share this? I'm feeling called to share.
Please.
For those people listening who maybe have tried a bunch of purpose stuff and struggled and shamed themselves. And that's the biggest thing, is we shame ourselves when we do a lot of purpose stuff, because when it's achievable purpose, that means we can fail it. And so it's inherently shaming. And I want to tell you an example I love to give for those people, because I think this is really important. So let's pretend that you got really sick one day and you were trying everything to get better. You had digestive issues. You were, studying nutrition and you started learning stuff. And you did get better. And this is really exciting. So you started helping, friends and family just ad hoc, spontaneously, as they kind of told you about it. You started telling them what you learned and they got better too. And now you're like, holy shit, this is it. I just figured out my life purpose. I know it. I'm going to go to health coaching school. It's going to cost thousands of dollars. I don't care if I have to go into debt because this is my purpose. It's going to take years of my life, but I don't give a shit. This is my purpose. I've got it. I finally know this thing. So you go to life coaching or health coaching school, you take your years of your life, you graduate, you start coaching, you're not making a lot of money at first. That's okay because you really love this, but you don't really love it. And now you're like, shit, did I just fuck up? Like, I failed my purpose. I followed every book. It said, follow your passions. I figured out my passions and I failed my purpose. What's wrong with me? And I know that may be a very common experience for many of us. That was a common experience for me over here. What's wrong with me? And I want to give you a different example of that. Let's pretend before you went to health coaching school, you mapped your sensitivities and you discovered your sensitivities were things like, let's say, spontaneous, supported, healthy, intimate, experimental. Okay. Why did it feel so good helping friends and family, but not when you were, working full time? Well, with friends and family, you were spontaneously supporting those you were intimate with and being experimental to help them get healthy. Pretty obvious, actually, why that felt purposeful. Let's say that when you go and coach random people, we take out the spontaneity, we take out the intimacy, you don't know them that well. Maybe you're following meal plans, so we take out the experimentation. And now it's very clear that we can predict this would be a terrible path for you. This isn't what you want to do. Or if you do want to be a health coach, it's got to be spontaneous. Maybe it's pop-up coaching. It's got to be experimentation. It can't just be meal plans. And so I say this because nothing about you is wrong. Who you are is right. Everything about you is right. But the container doesn't have the power. It was never about being a health coach or a life coach or a writer or whatever. It was about you expressing all of yourself. And that's what I want you to do.
You just explained just now also why I did not love fitness and nutrition coaching. I liked parts
exactly.
of it. I just wanted to talk with people about their like true life things and why they were not sticking to their meal plan. Like, I didn't actually give much of a shit about the meal plan itself. It was so boring to me. It was like, I don't want to write another one. Yeah, but this really is hitting all of those. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just... everything we do is just a container, right? Mm-hmm. It's a container for an essence. Just like I pick up my mason jar, it's a container for water. But I want the water. If that container isn't getting me the water, pour it into a different one. And that's what we're understanding here is I'm not, a mapping sensitivities expert. Who gives a shit about that? I'm obsessed with people's vulnerability. You want to keep me up all night? I'll tell you right now the secret. Start telling me a vulnerable story. I will be exhausted. I will want to go to bed, but this life force just comes to me and it's like an addiction. It's a compulsion. I cannot leave hearing someone's vulnerability. That's my obsession. So what I'm telling you today is take who you are, which is right, and turn it into a job, turn it into sex, turn it into a relationship, because all we're doing is taking our essence and finding a container that fits.
Yes, which now we're going into the labels a little bit too, because... right? Labels are just a kind of universal way of attempting to explain the essence of a person. But the container is not what it's about. So my label, gay, is not what... I don't need to fit certain things to be it. Our listeners don't need to take their job and that label and try to make that who they are and and live up to their version of that label. It's really
absolutely
about what's in it. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're talking about radical subjectivity here. And I always say to people, you know, labels can be, if they're empowering, great. They're empowering until they're not, just like any container out there. And so the thing is, any label, any theory is there to explain humans. It's there to explain you. If ever your lived experience counters that label or that theory, guess what? You've just disproven it. You've just taught all of us more of what it means to be human. You know, we've expanded the container. And so many of us feel bad or feel shame, you know, I'm not whatever enough, you know, feminine enough, masculine enough, gay enough, whatever, like anything enough, right? We're right. We are the right thing. That thing is just there to explain us. If it's not doing it, throw it away. You are right. And we are constantly, thankfully, expanding these labels, expanding these containers, teaching the world more of what it means to be human. And we are so blessed that we have you, because you are wisdom for the rest of the universe. You are teaching us so much. And specifically, you are teaching us about your sensitivities. Because here's the thing when we're sensitive to something, right? Like, if I'm sensitive to vulnerability, this happens to me all the time. I'm sensitive to vulnerability, and my husband, Garrett, I'll say to him, oh, that woman over there is crying. And he's like, what do you mean? She's not crying. It's like, no, she doesn't have tears streaming down her face, but there are tears in her eyes. I can see them. And it's like he literally cannot see what I see, because I'm sensitive to something, so I literally sense more. I see more of it. Now, he is extremely sensitive to safety, and he will notice if someone feels safe or unsafe in a second. And what we realize is that based on what we're sensitive to, we experience it deeper for ourselves, but also for others. And we're living these little differences in the world. You know, we're having a different experience of life, which means we have different wisdom to teach one another. And that's beautiful. That's why your life is critical and needed, and your gifts are needed, because we don't have that wisdom anywhere else.
So true. So true. Every single human, we've all got a greater purpose, not your stupid job, but like the thing that you contribute through what you're sensitive to and contribute to this larger community, to a society.
Yeah. I mean, if we lived 1,000 years ago, there was no such thing as a life coach 1,000 years ago, but those same sensitivities could still be utilized in a million different ways, right? So these containers are just to hold us in the current society. They're just a way for us to express these sensitivities. But if it's not working for you, like if your business isn't taking off, if you're not making a lot of money, if your relationship isn't working, you aren't wrong. The container just doesn't fit. And I cannot say that enough. It's not you. It's the freaking container. So change the container. I mean, if I had boiling hot water and I tried to pour it into a cheap plastic cup and it broke the plastic down, melted it, and spilled all over my hand, I wouldn't yell at the plastic cup. I wouldn't yell at the wall. I would get a different one. I would find what fits this, right? People tell me all the time, you know, Mike, I'm too much, right? First of all, this too much. When someone says to you that you're too much, what they're really saying is you are too much for me to handle in this container. They're telling you it's the wrong container. If I've got a gallon of water and I try to pour it into my little cup and it spills all over the floor, I don't shame the water. I get a bigger pot. Because I realize I need a different container to hold this. If you've ever been told you're too much, congratulations, you're too big for that container. Go find one that can hold you. Because I promise you, there are people and places and containers desperate for your essence just waiting for you.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful. Preach! We are being taken to church here. Yes. Wow. Mike, this is freaking amazing. Do you want to like jump over to goals?
Sure.
Totally jumping around here, you all, but this is something that you have. I was already going to record a podcast, and I might still do it just specifically on goals, but we got to talk about goals, because everyone is using goals against themselves, and they're so upset when they don't achieve their goals and they start shaming themselves. Tell us all the things, your perspective on goals.
Yeah, you know, goals are amazing, but goals are containers, right? And so here's the thing. is that our purpose is the underlying. If we want to think of a, you know, pyramid, our purpose is foundation, what we really want to feel. And then from that place, we build goals of how to get to that underlying place, right? So if I want to feel successful and vulnerable and zany, I might think, okay, what will help me to get there is to work with 10 new clients, let's say, which is a lot for me because I don't work with many one-on-one long-term, but let's just pretend that was 10 okay. new clients. And then that might be a goal of mine. Now, if I fail that goal, quote unquote, I didn't fail the underlying purpose. I just say, oh, that avenue didn't work. Let me find a new avenue to accomplish the same underlying thing because that's the thing I want. So instead of shaming myself for not, you know, achieving the one thing, I can be flexible. I can say, what? Why did I even want that goal in the first place? What's beneath that goal and how can I get to it a new or different way? And this has been radically liberating for me because it allows me to, first of all, find goals that actually bring me to what I really want, which is already radical for me. And then number two, allows me to be more strategic when the goal isn't working out or when I'm, you know, I might learn new things in the process of trying to achieve that goal and say, hey, actually, this wasn't the pathway I want to go there. I have to compromise too much. Let me find a new way there. And so I say all of this because if you are struggling to achieve a goal, or if you have resistance come up, or procrastination, or any of that stuff, which we all do, our sensitivity should explain why for us. So why am I struggling with this, right? This comes up all the time for me, right? Why am I struggling with, let's say, Instagram, right? I'm only in the last, you know, few months gone on Instagram, and it's been a struggle for me. And I think, okay, well, why do I want to be there? I want to be there because it's going to let me align with more people that I want to help. But why do I not want to be there? I don't want to be there because I feel like it is really basic and doesn't make me be unmistakable. So what I just told myself is in my sensitivities, I have a belief that I cannot be aligned and unmistakable at the exact same time. That's where my resistance is coming from. And I can look at that and say, all right, what is this teaching me? Now, maybe the way I'm going about it isn't working for me. So how can I be totally unmistakable in a way that aligns with my audience? Well, if I want to work with a queer audience and I want to be unmistakable, how can I, let's say, use boudoir photos and subvert the trope of a thirst trap and play with this and have really deep, meaningful conversation about body image through these photos? Could that be interesting and not feel unmistakable? Now, what I did there was I took a goal, it wasn't working the way I wanted, and I altered it to fit me more so that I could accomplish what I really wanted underneath.
Mm. That is so freaking powerful. And now you've got my wheels turning. I'm like, I wonder. But it does explain also why Instagram has become much easier for me this year. And like, it particularly over the last couple months. And really since we did the first IGTV thing together and I started thinking about those sensitivities that we started pulling out and then really refined last month, it was like, let's do these things more on Instagram. Let's be more like, let's stand all the way out. Let's be unapologetically me. Iconic. And also, like, let's accept the thrill of people might fucking hate what I have to say. And One of the most powerful posts I made got a lot of comments from people that agreed with it, and a few people that wrote some unkind comments, such as, quote, this is the stupidest thing you've ever posted. I got over 50 people unfollowed me with it within the next 48 hours. And my dream client, well, I have many amazing clients, but he fits into like the container of dream client, right?
Yeah.
Like a hell yes person signed with me specifically because of that post. And so it truly is so much more not about the container, to keep using the same language, but about how what we're putting into it and what sensitivities we're activating. So what do you think about, like, the thing that I run into frequently personally and everybody in the world, it's like a human problem I'm noticing, right? That we think the goal is when we get to feel The goal is when we get to feel good. The goal is when we get to feel accomplished or it's right. And we torture ourselves. So we get there.
Yeah. Well, so, when we don't know what we want to feel, it's kind of like I describe it as ransacking the temple. It's like I go into my relationship and I'm flipping couches. I'm turning things over like, where the hell is purpose? Where's the thing I want to feel? Because we don't actually know what we're looking for. We don't know what we're trying to feel in the first place. And so we didn't consciously build it around that. And so I always say is like, listen, there are a million pathways to feel successful and vulnerable and free. But I'm not going to give all my power away so that I can only feel successful when my bank account hits a certain number. Like, that is so conditional, and I have no power there, right? I have very limited power there. There are a lot of ways I can feel successful. Could I journal about why I feel successful every morning? Could I give myself permission to be successful? Could I wear clothing that makes me feel successful? Could I hang out with people that make me feel successful? Could I celebrate my clients every day? Could I, like, everything? Then sure, money can be a part of that conversation, sure, but a million things get to be there, and we take the power back. We have the ability to give ourselves permission to feel like ourselves no matter what is going on in our lives. And when we start to do that, now goals are less about, it's less about starvation. I have to achieve it just to get what I want, and more about, I get to express myself. This is a new way to express myself. Like, I'm already, for you, iconic and supported, and these are just new ways to play with and explore and express it. And if it isn't working, like I said, go back to those things and find a new way to get there, because you don't need to put all of your eggs in one basket. You know, we do this so often. And when it comes to, many clients come to me about, dating apps and finding a partner. And I always say, it's so much easier to engage with these things when you already feel your sensitivities and get on there versus feeling depleted and getting on there trying to feel the sensitivities. Because when you're already depleted and you're trying to feel the sensitivities, you give all these random people the power, right? All of these people you don't even know have the power to make you feel it or not. And that's not a place I want to be in. I want to know that I'm already iconic and supported regardless if you reject me or not, because it becomes a lot easier to show up as myself and to keep showing up and not feel like your opinion of me has any bearing on my self-worth.
Yeah, 100%. And then we end up, to go back all the way to what we started with, we end up always finding ways to meet these sensitivities, whether it's in a way that we consciously want or not. And so it makes total sense why we struggle with goals when we're making the end goal the only opportunity, when we're going to give ourselves permission to feel good and to feel our sensitivities.
100%. I mean, I want to feel good the whole way to the goal. And guess what? It's actually more effective. I'm going to accomplish that goal more, but that's not even the point anymore. And that's why it becomes so effective. And so I always tell people, do your permissions every day. Right away, when you map your sensitivities, get into your closet, see which word do you see the least of, and buy something that makes you feel that. Go into your relationships, which word do you feel the least of, and do something that makes you feel that. Start to change in very subtle ways, and you will be shocked how quickly things start changing in your life. Because all you're doing is asking the world for what you most need to feel to be at your best and brightest.
Yeah. And I love to, think of this too, like soccer, because, I'm gay. I don't know much sports ball, y'all, but I did play soccer in high school, and I did not play it for the split second that I got to watch the ball cross the line into the goal. That's like, okay, yeah, great. But what I loved was being on a team. I loved running around. I loved the teamwork. I loved the essence of the game. And when we can love the essence of the game of relationships, the essence of the game of business, the essence of the game of fill in the blank, it's so much easier and more enjoyable to play the game than it is to only appreciate the split second when the ball crosses into the goal.
100%. And just because I can't help myself, I'm listening to this story and I'm thinking, well, yeah, the thrill of the game and the support of the team and the empowerment. I mean, to see that, again, we're going to see this over and over and over again. And it's kind of crazy. Every area of your life, you're going to be like, oh my God, that's why I like that. And that's why I didn't like that. And that's why this worked out. And that's why this didn't work out. And that's what we want. The word purpose means why. If it can't explain the reason in every aspect of our life, it's not purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So that also our brains, I guess, are assigning purpose then to these containers. This container has the purpose of bringing me
right,
like an easier
and
time.
And we're giving power away.
Yeah.
When we say that the container is all the purpose, we're giving our power away. I've had people say, Mike, I'll never have sex as good as this relationship. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up a minute here. That person may have unlocked your sensitivities, but if you know what you're sensitive to, theoretically, anybody who's willing and able can give you the best sex of your life. Do not give your power away to that person, that job, that anything. Knowing who you are, because you're the one who experienced experiences that purpose is something you experience. It's not something that's given to you. And when we understand that, it radically changes our life.
Y'all need to just rewind 10 seconds and listen to that again. When we understand that, it radically changes our life. Yeah. 100% agree. Okay, Mike, is there, before we go, because we're going to give all your, everywhere everyone can find you, but is there any, like, before we do that, is there any, like, final wisdom that you want to make sure my unicorns leave with today?
What I love to share, and just feels like it's coming up, is you never have to try to be yourself. You know, if you're trying, yeah, it means you're being somebody else. And so it's not that life is going to be totally effortless, because it's not, but I love talking to queer people about this, because it's kind of like coming out, right? It can be hard. There can definitely be effort, but you're doing the effort to feel more natural, to be able to be more you, to do something that just feels like you and live a life that feels like you. And that's all we're talking about here, right? We're talking about taking out all that conditioning and all those rules. So yes, there will be effort, but if we're constantly struggling on Instagram or struggling in business, we have to pause and say, am I really being me? Does this feel natural and authentic? Or am I trying all the time? And how can I say I'm right? Who I am is right. It may look totally different than the world, but guess what? That's innovation. That's change. That's evolution. So let me start with me. I am right, radically as I am, and let me go build relationships, business, sex, whatever that fits me.
Yes. I love that. Because it really does, truthfully, y'all, I can tell you that I've experienced so much more ease in so many areas of life since doing this work with Mike, because I am like, anything that feels like horrible in any way, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, let's pause. Which of these things am I feeling maybe none of, or the shadow side of? Okay, great. So it is, it's like, oh, I finally have a compass.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yes, that's how I see this work for myself too. So it's beautiful.
Amazing. Okay, Mike, please tell our listeners how they can find you, how they can work with you, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. So if you are listening and you're like, I just need to figure out my sensitivities ASAP, we always have a free resource on my website. You can just go to mikeiamelli.com/map, M-A-P, and you can download a worksheet and a quick training. And that's going to help you start to think about mapping your sensitivities. If you want to go through a whole process and really definitively know it and begin to implement it, you can always hire me. It takes me about 2.5 hours. It is amazing. It is beautiful. And I don't know when this is airing, but we do have an upcoming program for mapping those business superpowers. And so we're going to be using this work similar to the program that you did, Alex, but for business owners to begin implementing this and building messaging and business offerings with it.
Fantastic. Okay. So if they go to your website or Instagram, they can find out about that too.
Yep. They can. Yep. You follow me on Instagram at Mike Iamelli, or you can go to my website. And once you sign up for mikeiamelli.com/map, you'll get emails eventually about this program.
Perfect. I love it. Okay. All of that, y'all, will be linked down in the show notes. So it's really easy for you to find and just click on and go hang out with Mike and just soak in his sensitivities, because he's going to make you feel all of these things. Like, what again? Remind us. How are people going to feel around
Successful,
you?
Successful, right? We all want that. Aligned, vulnerable, free, unmistakable, and zany.
And who doesn't want all of that? So, y'all,
that's right.
Go check out Mike. Go hang out in his universe. And thank you so much again, Mike, for coming on here and for helping us all today. We so appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, y'all. I'll see you next week. Bye. If you enjoyed this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend so they too can become more confident. You can also help more people find the show by leaving a 5-star review wherever you listen. And if you want to become a more confident queer with support from yours truly, head to coachalexray.com or use the link down in the show notes. I'm looking forward to working with you.